I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Radio and the great outdoors, and what a show we have for you today, because that man, Dr. Ted Nugent, the doctor of rock, is going to be joining us here in the next segment to talk a little bit more about politics and life and the Second Amendment and Bo Matthews' big hunt that just took place on Ted's property up in Michigan.
Outstanding, brother. It was outstanding. But
was.
Before we get to all that, and Ted was, you know, very kind. Before we get to all that, you did it again. You traveled across the world hunting sharks. This is the outdoors part of it.
Yeah, I guess, you know, we got back a little vacation, went to the beaches down in the Destin area. We took our camper down there, and we had a great time. My wife drove the camper down there again, and I flew down and met her and drove it back. And yeah, it was fantastic. Ended up on Topsail Beach, which is a federal park, not a federal park, a Florida state park, right on the beach just south of Sandestin, and it was just gorgeous. We had a fantastic experience down there.
The RV, like camping ground, is right on the ocean? Is that right?
It is on the ocean.
Walking distance?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a 20-minute walk, probably. We rented bikes so we could drive. We could pull our little wagon and go to the beach every day whenever we wanted. They actually have a tram at that state park where you can meet at a location, and they'll load you onto this tram and drive you up there.
Nice.
But if not, it's a 20-minute walk. When it's 100 degrees outside, you want to get there faster, so we rented bikes. But it was a great experience overall, and we ended up going to Crab Island one day. We rented a boat. That's near Destin, in the little bay there in Destin. It's a sandbar that's right off of the bay in Destin, on the inside of the barrier island, right? So you're not on the ocean side. And it's about 3 or 4 feet deep. It's maybe chest deep in some places, knee deep in others. And you can anchor your boat out there and just kind of hang out in the water and have a cocktail if you want. And it was fantastic.
There's photographic evidence of that on my phone. Yeah, I don't know if it was on Facebook, but yeah. But that's what you do.
No, he took the I have a drink, here's my feet, and the water picture.
And I also took a picture from Crab Island, which was nice. I did want to mention, on our way back, we are members of a organization called Harvest Host, and we've had them on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors in the past. We've done an episode on it. And it's a group of farmers and people that own land across the country who are part of Harvest Host, and they will host RVers for the night, usually for free, right?
Wow.
Or sometimes there's a $10 charge or a $20 charge for to hook up to electricity, but mostly you're able to pull up and park for the night for free, not have to worry about going to a Love's truck stop or something. And then all they ask is if they have a store or something on the property. We've been to an alpaca farm, but our experience on the way home, we stopped at a place just south of Nashville called South 40. The farm is called South 40. It's near Franklin, Tennessee. And it's this beautiful farm. The guy grows wildflowers, and people come and take pictures, and they filmed music videos there. Luke Bryan filmed a music video there.
Nice.
And the guy had pictures of Luke Bryan being on the property, and they have a little studio they've got set up. People come and take senior pictures out there, and it was just really cool. Yeah.
And so while you're there, don't they put you to work too? Wasn't that part of that conversation?
No. We've not experienced that yet. But it's a great way if you're an RVer and you need to stop somewhere on the way to your destination. Harvest Host has locations all over the country. So.
And were you the only RV there?
There was one other RV on the property. Usually they limit it to one or two, and you can only generally stay for a night. They limit you to one night, and you just stop by, and they point you to the spot where you're allowed to park. Sometimes it's remote parking, and other times you might have electricity. We had an electricity hookup because it's still kind of hot in the south, and you don't want to sleep in the camper overnight without air conditioning if you have the option.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, a random RV question. In the heat, how did your RV perform, your RVAC?
Very well. In the heat of Florida, it performed very well. Kept it cool, and it's got a little bit of, it's ceiling mounted, but it's got some vents that travel to the front of the camper to keep the whole thing cool, and it'd freeze you out of there. It was nice.
Wow, that's great. That's great. What a great experience that was. And how many days were you on the water or in the water? Like five or six?
5 days, yeah. We were there five or six days.
So did you? So you rode back with your wife?
I drove back. She drove down. And I drove back. So it was fun.
What a class act. That's awesome. Well, we got a big show for you. Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. We talked about Mark's vacation. Now we're going to talk about a hunting excursion I went on up to Michigan on Sunrise Safaris, which is owned by Ted Nugent. And we've got Ted Nugent coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's awesome.
It's Second Amendment Radio. Are we going? Are we going?
Wait, no. Hold on. Now, no, we want to play this first. Ready?
Oh. Do it.
Ready to rock. Go for it.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews, and that is Mark Cox, Carl Middleman, playing the music, the new music of Ted Nugent. And, dude, can I just say that is nasty. I like it. I like it a lot. Ted, welcome.
I feel welcome. That sounds like the soundtrack for Aim Small, Miss Small Freedom. God bless you guys. The Second Amendment is the firestorm of freedom. God bless you, man.
It is. And, hey, I just want to say, we're not to spend a lot of time on it, but my buddy Jim and I came up there a couple weeks ago, and we had a freaking blast. And I've said to so many people, Ted, by the way, Ted Nugent is on the line. I've said to so many people, Ted could have showed up for 20 minutes and everybody would have been thrilled. The man stayed on the property at the camp for 2.5 hours. And it was just a great get together, a great meeting, great food. So hats off for a classy operation you got up there in Michigan.
Yeah, how about my son Toby and my guides Paul and George? I mean, I'm surrounded by the best people in the world. And as you saw around that campfire, Bo, not only that, but how do you like your pork? I like mine pissed off. I don't know about you.
I donated mine.
I get to share hundreds of campfires with thousands of great American families every year since I created Sunrise Safaris. And that's why when I speak, I'm just not giving you a hunch or an opinion or a view of what self-evident truth may or may not represent. I'm really representing the ultimate definitive self-evident truth that comes from the hearts and souls of hardworking American families that are dedicated to God, family, country, law and order, good over evil.
Amen.
So these are the pulses that you guys are celebrating and our founding fathers wrote down in the Second Amendment. So I'm honored and humbled to do so, man.
Well, Ted, it is great to have you on here today. Mark Cox here. I have to tell you, brother, when I was probably 10 years old, 11 years old, I got my first electric guitar, and I bloodied my fingers trying to learn to play Cat Scratch Fever. Can I just tell you that?
Well, it's all about the groove. I hear millions of guys play the Cat Scratch Fever lick, but nobody does it correctly. Nobody's got that Motown grind. There's a certain pulsation, a certain grind and rhythm to that lick, and all the best licks in the world. You see bar bands play Smoke in the Water, and it kind of makes you cringe because there's a lot of nuances and subtle pedal tones that go on. But God bless you for pursuing it, because if you can even do a reasonable version of the Cat Scratch Fever lick, the girls will dance for you.
I love it. You know, I heard you on the air with our friend Mark Reardon here on 97.1 recently, and Mark was giving you just a little bit of grief for not including St. Louis in your sort of farewell tour, your final big tour.
Well, you know, tomorrow night I will do my 6,941st flame throwing rock and roll guitar delivery. I think we can all agree the greatest philosopher of all times was Dirty Harry when he said a good man knows his limitations. So I'm sitting here in the sacred swamps of Michigan with three worn out dogs, and my wife is cooking up a killer brunch of angry pork, and I will not leave my dogs or my wife for more than a few hours. So I still do some gigs. I'm doing the York County State Fair in Pennsylvania. I was voted the number one rock and roll artist on planet Earth in 2024. How awesome is that?
And I yeah, buddy.
A motorcycle rally in Maryland in September. So I'm still doing a lot of gigs, but I have to be home at night. So my rock and roll concerts are pivotal upon who can jet me home after the gig.
Hold on. Are you holding Joe Biden hours? Are you done at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Ted? What's going on with that?
Yeah, right. And I'm Caitlyn Jenner's boy toy, too. Yeah. No, okay. Good luck. Good luck with you guys keeping up with my vapor trail. I get up early. I just hung up my 68th raccoon. I'm killing the varmints here, and I'm saving the songbirds and the pheasant eggs and the duck eggs. So I'm a very active guy. I'm 76 this year, but I'm still blessed with incredible health and a lot of avidity. I'm a hunting avidity Second Amendment promoter, and in this culture war turned to spiritual war headed by this freak zombie snake in the White House, I am more driven every day to do my We the People responsibility. So, no, I'm very, very energized, very active, and I never stop.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And by the way, for the record, I did donate my hog to your organization up in Michigan and was glad to do it, but I was just excited for the hunt. But you know how people, Mark, like to one-up you on stuff? I tell my story of the great hunt at Ted Nugent's property in Michigan. They're like, yeah, you should probably go to Texas because he does helicopter hunts down there. why do people have to do that? Thank you.
Well, there is, by the way, we shared a wonderful campfire, and those were great, great people. I'm going to do it every weekend now through the New Year's. Awesome. We have a Sunrise Safaris. If people want to share a campfire with Uncle Ted and the greatest Americans in the world to remind you what real America is, they can go to tednugent.com. But I started this to help promote conservation and promote resource stewardship and promote the incredible, miraculous healing powers of God's creation as a hands-on participant. But and they're all fun. They're all deliriously fun. But nothing in this world, except maybe being strapped to my amplifiers while I'm playing Wang Dang Sweet Poon Tang, nothing in this world is more exciting than shooting pigs with a machine gun from a helicopter as I save the environment, I save wildlife, I save agriculture, I save tax dollars, I save America, literally by killing thousands of hogs with a machine gun from a helicopter, and people wonder why I'm like this. That's why I'm like this.
Sign me up.
Yeah, no kidding. So, Ted, I have to ask, just going back a few years, I mean, when did you awaken politically? Can I ask that? Because, I mean, I've loved Fred Bear, love that song, right? Great White Buffalo. I mean, those were clearly songs with a message. But when did you awaken politically, would you say, along the way in your rock and roll career?
Well, I would say, having graduated from the American anti-education system, I was clueless in 1967 when I graduated from the American anti-education system. Talking about mushy-brained, all I knew was the inexhaustible pursuit of Chuck Berry groove. So I was always practicing my guitar. I was always lining up gigs for the Amboy Dukes. I was always training my dogs. I was always shooting my bow and arrow. So I was really focused on those things that really stimulated my spirit and my physics of spirituality. But when I came back to Detroit from Illinois, we went there for 2 years when my dad got transferred, and the Amboy Dukes came back to Detroit, and I started getting contact. I had no idea. I could not have told you what Iwo Jima was. I didn't know what the letters IRS stood for, and I got some stories regarding that. Heroes of World War II. This is such a moving experience. Heroes of World War II in Korea, and heroes coming back from the immoral, illegal, oath-violating war of Vietnam. They would track me down. I was 18, 19. I had no idea. I didn't know there was a war going on in Vietnam. I literally only knew music, gigs, girls, and the mystical flight of the Bockstrap arrow. I was so consumed with those things that took all my attention. But when the heroes of the military started contacting me, as early as 67, they would hear my radio interviews, rock and roll radio interviews, which are uppity and outrageous and irreverent and defiant and fun. And because I was clean and sober, I could express all those things efficiently. But I always talked about my archery, the discipline of the mystical flight of the arrow, and marksmanship, and my weekends shooting squirrels with my Smith & Wesson Model 19, shooting 38 special rounds, 158 lead rounds. And so all these military guys go, this guy's talking guns and hunting and promoting gun ownership and the self-evident truth of the Second Amendment. So they would track me down because they all knew friends who had died and given the ultimate sacrifice for their constitutional oath. And they'd never heard it from a rock and roll interview ever or since, except from yours truly. So then I started getting educated about the horrors of war, the Bataan Death March, the rape of Nanking, where evil tyrants sent their slaves into rape and pillage and torture and murder their enemies in Japan and Vietnam and in Germany. And I started going, God, that's horrible. That's some ugly stuff. And so I started educating myself. And then in 79, when I realized the U.S. Marine Corps heroes were put in charge of security at the Tehran embassy, the U.S. embassy in Tehran, U.S. Marines that were ordered to secure our embassy but were not given any ammo and they became hostages, my brain struggled to process this toxic, treasonous information by my government. So that's when I really got involved, because as I would promote the Second Amendment, I would get hate and vicious threats because I promoted gun ownership. And so I started realizing, that's what the Founding Fathers confronted. That's what they faced. And I was more than happy to push back, because all the music, all the musicians, all the media, all academia, all media would condemn the Second Amendment. So I started promoting it, and I killed them every time with truth, logic, common sense, facts, and irrefutable history. So that's when I became an activist and finally performed my responsibilities as a We the People American.
And that's why you're sought after on all the news channels. Matter of fact, the day of our hunt, you said you had just wrapped up 3 hours of media. Is this half of your day every day, Ted?
It really is. I get up, check my traps every morning, and kill varmints and aim small, miss small, and get a lot of trigger time. That's very stimulating. I feel like Mother Teresa with a Glock. I'm doing such wonderful conservation work. And then I jump on with guys like you, and I do Jesse Waters, and I do Joe Rogan, and I get on with Adam Carolla, and I believe it or not, back when Howard Stern had a spirit and a soul, I used to get on with him and straighten him out. But yeah, I've been sought because nobody can debate me. Unless they go, well, Ted, let me be devil's advocate. And I say, well, you know, if you're going to counter what I just said, you would be the devil's advocate. So go for it. So I literally, like I did to Piers Morgan, if you try to debate Ted Nugent on conservation, hunting science, Second Amendment truth, logic, and common sense, I will gnaw on your family tree and spit toxic sawdust in your face because I am the humble servant of truth, logic, common sense, and all the evidence to support it. And if you try to debate me, I will make you look like the idiot that you are.
I love it. Ted, I have to tell you, one of the concerts I saw you in here in St. Louis, I hope you'll probably remember this. It must have been maybe 15 years ago. You came here and your backdrop was a lattice work with guns hanging on it. And the city of St. Louis, the city of St. Louis tried to charge you for bringing these firearms into the city of St. Louis. It's not gotten any better here. Can I just tell you that?
Well, that's the story all across this great country. I'm in Michigan right now at the historical sacred Nugent family swamp, getting ready for the best hunting season of my life. And we here in Michigan, even though the people are the greatest people in the world, just like Texas, just like Missouri, just like every state. I mean, California isn't L.A. and San Francisco. It's the gunsmiths and the guy and the outfitter and the ranchers and the farmers and the vineyard operators in Northern California. There's great, great conservative, conservation, constitutionalists everywhere. But the toxic communist tail is wagging the dog in every state. And yes, I know the horrors of St. Louis, especially East St. Louis, under the engineered recidivism. Gentlemen, engineered recidivism. Mm-hmm. Our government is cultivating and rewarding rapists, murderers, child sex traffickers, and people who shoot and stab other people, and they keep letting them out to shoot and stab people, which has nothing to do with knives or guns, but engineered recidivism. So I know what you're dealing with, but I love the people of St. Louis and Missouri and everywhere in this country. I know them well. I hang out with them, and what you witness, Bo, I share campfires with them from every state. In fact, people come from Europe because you can't do what I do in France. Every day what I do is illegal in Chicago and Europe. So people come who live self-evident truth and bust their ass to be in the asset column for their family, their community, our great country, our once great country. And I know the heart and soul of the best American families. And we are not only not represented by the government, but we are offended and embarrassed by our government.
I will say one thing you mentioned that really stuck with me at the campfire at your Sunrise Safari was that if all hunters, now this is a show called Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. I shared that with you, and that's when I asked you, you got to come on the show. He goes, I'm your guy. But Ted, you said that if just the hunters of this country voted, that it would sway the entire election. You said it would be a landslide. If just the hunters and a lot of people that hunt don't vote, they don't mess with it. Talk to us.
Yeah, it's irrefutable. We bought the statistics. We have an organization. I hope everybody, if you want to make America America again, if you want good to survive and win over evil, HunterNation.org. HunterNation.org. We bought the statistics and we wept tears of blood when we cross-referenced the hunting license families of this country to the voting records. In every state, there's not one state where 50% of the licensed hunters were even registered to vote. They never voted. And that conservative army of voters, if we could, and we are, we're making a difference. We're getting a hold of, we're doing robocalls. I'm calling people. We're doing flyers. We're emailing. We're wallpaper carpet bomb communication to the greatest conservative voting army in the world, and that's the licensed hunting families of America. And you're absolutely right. The statistics are irrefutable. If just the licensed hunters voted their core belief system, God, family, country, freedom, private property rights, tax accountability, good God, someday maybe, if just the licensed hunters voted in meaningful numbers, we would win everything for conservative representation. I swear to God, HunterNation.org is the deciding factor whether we continue under this snake Biden communist tyranny or we get somebody like Donald Trump back in. Not somebody. Hunter Nation is a nonprofit, so I can't endorse anybody. But if you're going to vote God, family, country, law, and order, you know who you're not voting for.
Yeah, not the mindless zombie in the White House. How about the mayor of Chicago last weekend, who tried to blame the 100 shootings and 20 deaths in his city over the July 4th weekend on Richard Nixon? He tried to blame it on the policies of Richard Nixon 50 years ago. I mean, it's unbelievable how far they'll go to try to take weapons away from law-abiding citizens.
Engineered recidivism. Right now, based on the Uniform Crime Report from the once great law enforcement agency known as the Federal Bureau of Investigation, now they've turned into a Democrat gangster, you know, strong-arm organization. Oh, how heartbreaking is that?
Yes.
But engineered recidivism, 100%. Gentlemen, it used to be 96%. Currently, 100% of violent crime is committed by repeat offenders that our system have intentionally released into our streets. And if we would just end the engineered recidivism, America would be the safest, most law and order place in the world. Those are not Ted Nugent hunches. The statistics are irrefutable. I study them all the time. People need to go to HunterNation.org and, of course, GunOwners.org. Gun Owners of America is the ultimate fist in the fight. There's a new organization in Texas that is really doing amazing work. It's called TexasGunRights.org. TexasGunRights.org. And it's not just about Texas gun rights. The Second Amendment is a national right. I don't need a permit for my First Amendment, and I don't need a permit for my Second Amendment. And my First Amendment and my Second Amendment is good on planet Earth without paperwork.
And when you think about the Republican National Convention coming up and the possible announcement of a vice president for Donald Trump, are we going to put Ted on the list of qualified applicants?
Absolutely.
What do you think? I've got a bumper sticker that says Ted for president.
Well, Ted, we'd run out of rope. I promise you that.
Wow. Yeah.
We would. That's we would boring. Run out of rope.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Again, thank you again for your hospitality. Anybody that gets a chance to go and experience a Ted Nugent hunt, I will tell you, your son Toby, spitting image, I'm thinking of you when you were younger. Great guy, very good host. And George and the Amish boy. What was the Amish boy? Brian, is it?
Yeah, Brian and Spencer and Paul was up in Canada hunting bears. But no, but what you witnessed there, Bo, is my life. I mean, my inner circle, which
loved
is
it.
Vast, I mean, it's global. My inner circle is global. Nothing but good, working hard, playing hard, genuine, honest, people of integrity, people who are punctual, people who care, people who are funny and cocky. Yeah. I could become really spoiled because you saw the quality of the people around the Ted Nugent campfire, and they are the best people in the world, and I do it every weekend. Shemaine and I will be at the GOP convention in Milwaukee on Monday, her birthday, the 15th, and we're doing a HunterNation.org event. And we're going to find out who are the real conservative Republicans versus the Mitt Romneys who bring a doily to a gunfight.
Amen. Ted, you are the best. I'm going to go home and get out my copy of Double Live Gonzo and listen to it this afternoon, just in your honor.
I would. What great music. What great. That's another example. How about my bands? Do I have the best bands in the world or what?
Yes, you do. Absolutely.
All right. Ted, stay in touch.
The Second Amendment is a self-evident truth. People can now go to gunowners.org, hunternation.org. But if we galvanize the conservative families of this nation, we will send these tyrannical communist Democrat punks packing. And that's the job of we the people. God bless you for that, man.
Keep up the good fight. Ted Nugent on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. What an honor. And, hey, get his new album. He's still cranking out the good stuff. It's grungy, too, and I like it.
Can't wait. I can't wait. I love it. I love it. I've been a longtime Ted fan and listener and bloodied my fingers. Still didn't get to learn Cat Scratch Fever. It's tough, though, right? You got to have soul to play that, as he just told me. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about Bo's trip with his friend Jim, the Big Onion, who went up there with him, and I can't wait. Coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, proudly brought to you by Razorback Armory on Manchester Road, just east of 270. If you're looking to suppress a firearm or you're looking for gunsmithing of any kind or looking for a new weapon, check out Razorback Armory in De Pere. Go to RazorbackArmory.com to get the address. That, of course, Ted Nugent, Fred Bear, which was a song that was performed around the campfire. The only song that Ted Nugent did. And he told a great story that led up to him performing the song as he was fixing his guitar because he broke his G-string and had to repair it.
He was wearing a G-string?
Wow.
No.
Is that extra?
He was wearing Crocs. And if anybody knows what a bug assault weapon is, he pulled up in a minivan screaming, "What's up, Mom?" And then you can finish the rest.
I'll bet you
it
can.
Mark, I'm telling you, for my first hunting excursion, I couldn't have picked a better travel partner and a hunting partner as in the Big Onion, Jim Allen. Jim, we promised we were going to recap the event. Tell me your experience, because I will say this. When we got there and Jim's like, "I'm going to use my compound bow. I want to get a ram." George, the hunting guide, says, "Dude, that's the hardest thing to do on this property." Jim?
What's up, fellas?
He's back.
First of all, I hate both of you for making me follow Ted Nugent in some kind of radio interview. Like, not fair at all.
All we need is a little truth, logic, and common sense. Come on, bring it.
Well, I 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Great trip all around. And, you know, cut me off if you need to, because I can rant on this thing. But, you know, Bo hit it, the road trip. We had a great time, great travel partners. We never fought or got mad about the radio or nothing. So all that went exceptionally well. And when we showed up, like Bo said, I was the only Bo hunter, and Bo made the joke that I'm using a Matthews bow, and he's Bo Matthews, so we had a little fun moment. But, you know, everyone was rifle hunting for hogs. I had a different idea because, as you know, I still have a freezer full of pork from my most recent hunting incident. But we got there bright and early. It was still dark. Went over the safety rules, et cetera. Went out. And I was excited, of course, to be there. But I was equally, if not a little bit more excited, to be with Bo on his first actual hunt, big game hunt, right? So they get us out in the blind, and we were together, and we had some good time just, you know, in the wilderness, or, you know, back in the wild again. It's the Fred Bear song.
Yeah, I love it.
Really just strong, beautiful woods, the smell of the woods. Everything was right. We saw multiple deer walking around because they knew we could not kill them. I made a promise to a couple of them to come back. But anyway,
so
after a while in the blind, a couple hours, Bo, I guess you'd say, we ended up seeing some hogs coming through a field. Let's grab that rifle, Bo, and let's see what you can do. And I'll tell you, I have taken several new hunters out with me in the past over the years. Most of them get shaky. They get nervous. They miss completely. All these things can happen because when it's go time, that's what separates the men from the boys. Cool, man. He was cool. He waited. He was patient for the shot. I gave him just minimal instruction, like, wait, they're coming. And boom, he made his shot. The thing took off. He hit it, and he ended up shooting it again and dropping it in the woods. And what a proud moment. Like, for him, I could tell he was, you know, excited and fulfilled from the hunt, but I was really amped up and excited for him to be able to take that shot, you know, under pressure with me standing there and everything. So it was a beautiful moment.
You know why, Jim? Because Robert Redford is not the natural. Bo Matthews is the natural. I saw him sporting clay shooting, which he's only done a couple of times, and he did better at it than I did. I mean, he's just a natural shooter.
Yeah, you guys are
stud. I enjoyed that, and you know, of course, I was like, okay, now it's time for me to get to work, and they end up taking Bo back, and you know, start to clean his hog and all that kind of stuff, and so they put me in another blind. Right away, like, I'm by myself, like, seven hogs come out of the back of the woods, and I've got, you know, I got four or five arrows, so I could have thinned the herd nicely. But I really, for a moment, Mark, in my head, I'm like, nah, maybe I should just kill a hog and just be done, and I could hang out with the group because I had a little FOMO, you know, going on.
Yeah.
But I was patient, and I only entertained that for a second. And when he came back, the guy, George, who was fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah, buddy.
And I said, I really would like to stalk because they're spooked. These ram are spooked. They're running around because everybody's shooting at these hogs. So I finally convinced them to take me out in another area of the property that was safe and let me stalk these ram. And at least three times he mentioned how difficult that was, which only excited me that much more. So got on some from a distance, and I got out of the truck and went down, and I was stalking, and they winded me. I should have took a shot, but I wanted to get a little bit closer and cleaner, and they scrambled away a little bit, but they ended up coming around the backside where I backtracked and hid behind a big tree, and I had my eye on this big, beautiful black.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, proudly brought to you by Razorback Armory on Manchester Road, just east of 270. If you're looking to suppress a firearm, or you're looking for gunsmithing of any kind, or looking for a new weapon, check out Razorback Armory in De Pere. Go to RazorbackArmory.com to get the address. That, of course, Ted Nugent, Fred Bear, which was a song that was performed around the campfire. The only song that Ted Nugent did. And he told a great story that led up to him performing the song, as he was fixing his guitar because he broke his G-string and had to repair it.
He was wearing a G-string?
Wow.
Well, no.
Is that
no.
Extra?
He was wearing Crocs. And if anybody knows what a bug assault weapon is, he pulled up in a minivan screaming, "What's up, Mom?" And then you can finish the rest.
I'll bet you
it
can.
Mark, I'm telling you, for my first hunting excursion, I couldn't have picked a better travel partner and a hunting partner, as in the Big Onion, Jim Allen. Jim, we promised we were going to recap the event. Tell me your experience, because I will say this. When we got there and Jim's like, I'm going to use my compound bow. I want to get a ram. George, the hunting guide, says, dude, that's the hardest thing to do on this property. Jim?
What's up, fellas?
He's back.
First of all. I hate both of you for making me follow Ted Nugent in some kind of radio interview. Like, that's not fair at all.
All we need is a little truth, logic, and common sense. Come on, bring it.
Well, I two out of three ain't bad. So, great, great trip all around. And, you know, cut me off if you need to, because I can rant on this thing. But, you know, Bo hit it, the road trip. We had a great time, great travel. Partners, we never fought or got mad about the radio or nothing. So all that went exceptionally well. And when we showed up, like Bo said, I was the only Bo hunter. And Bo made the joke that I'm using a Matthews bow, and he's Bo Matthews. So we had a little fun moment. But, you know, everyone was rifle hunting for hogs. I had a different idea because, as you know, I still have a freezer full of pork from my most recent hunting incident. But we got there bright and early. It was still dark. Went over the safety rules, et cetera, and went out. And I was excited, of course, to be there, but I was equally, if not a little bit more excited, to be with Bo on his first actual hunt, big game hunt, right? So they get us out in the blind, and we were together, and we had some good time just, you know, in the wilderness, or, you know, back in the wild again, as the Fred Bear song.
Yeah, I love it.
Really just strong, beautiful woods, the smell of the woods, everything was right. We saw multiple deer walking around because they knew we could not kill them. I made a promise to a couple of them to come back. But anyway,
so
after a while in the blind, a couple hours, Bo, I guess you'd say, we ended up seeing some hogs coming through a field. Let's grab that rifle, Bo, and let's see what you can do. And I'll tell you, I have taken several new hunters out with me in the past over the years. Most of them get shaky. They get nervous. They miss completely. All these things can happen because when it's go time, that's what separates the men from the boys. Oh, cool, man. He was cool. He waited. He was patient for the shot. I gave him just minimal instruction, like, wait, they're coming. And boom, he made his shot. The thing took off. He hit it, and he ended up shooting it again and dropping it in the woods. And what a proud moment. Like, for him, I could tell he was, you know, excited and fulfilled from the hunt. But I was really amped up and excited for him to be able to take that shot, you know, under pressure with me standing there and everything. So it was a beautiful moment.
You know why, Jim? Because Robert Redford is not the natural. Bo Matthews is the natural. I saw him sporting clay shooting, which he's only done a couple of times, and he did better at it than I did. I mean, he's just a natural shooter.
Gosh, you guys are
stud. I enjoyed that, and you know, of course, I was like, okay, now it's time for me to get to work, and they ended up taking Bo back and, you know, start to clean his hog and all that kind of stuff, and so they put me in another blind. Right away, like, I'm by myself, like, seven hogs come out of the back of the woods, and I've got, you know, I got four or five arrows, so I could have thinned the herd nicely, but I really, for a moment, Mark, in my head, I'm like, maybe I should just kill a hog and just be done, and I could hang out with the group, because I had a little FOMO, you know, going on.
Yeah.
But I was patient, and I only entertained that for a second, and when he came back, the guy, George, who was fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah, buddy.
And I said, I really would like to stalk because they're spooked. These ram are spooked. They're running around because everybody's shooting at these hogs. So I finally convinced them to take me out in another area of the property that was safe and let me stalk these ram. And at least three times he mentioned how difficult that was, which only excited me that much more. So got on some from a distance, and I got out of the truck and went down, and I was stalking, and they winded me. I should have took a shot, but I wanted to get a little bit closer and cleaner, and they scrambled away a little bit, but they ended up coming around the backside where I backtracked and hid behind a big tree, and I had my eye on this big, beautiful black ram with an incredible set of horns, and I was determined that I was going to take and harvest him, so I was able to get the shot. It was a beautiful, clean shot, quick, clean kill. And George comes running up to me because he saw this go down from the distance. And he's embracing me and hugging me. He's like, that was awesome. Like, he was as excited as I was, which made it such a fun moment, right? So that was really incredible. But real quick fun fact, if I can, he said, we can't go up on the animal because with the ram, the other rams gather around it when they're in their dying process. So he's like, you don't want to get up on that because, you know, that they're still wild animals, right? So
right.
We drove off a little bit and came back around. By that time, the animal had expired, and the rest of the group started wandering off. So we took some pictures and then hauled it back to camp where I joined everybody else.
So about that ram, I saw the picture, and it was a beautiful animal. Those are not native up there. I'm assuming Ted stocks this farm, correct?
Yeah, I think some of those ram are native from Texas.
Oh, are they?
I did some research on. But he does have a couple other, there's like three or four different types of ram up there, and they kind of all run together in different packs. So I don't think they're native to Michigan, but I did think he probably, I didn't ask, but I assume that they brought them up from Texas, from their Texas.
Yeah. It was great. Jim had even created a Jimbo Spotify playlist with a ton of freaking Ted Nugent on it. It was awesome. But here's the deal. In the blind, you've been in a deer blind before, in a hunting blind several times. Okay, so I had never been into a blind. The night before we get into town, the night of the debate, we go to Texas Roadhouse. And of course, I've been on a carnivore diet for 7 weeks at that point. I ate three of their rolls. The next morning, I almost felt bad for Jim, but we're sitting in the blind.
Oh, no.
And he's like,
I know where this is going.
Are you okay over there? And I'm thinking, I don't think I am.
Oh, man.
We we got that. We got my part of the hunt done. And then George, the guide, goes, yeah, I'm going to drop you guys off over at this other blind and I'll go back to camp. I'm like, Jim, you're on your own, buddy. I got to go back to the outhouse. And get some bad. But all well, I didn't do a Biden. So it was good. But yeah, it was a fantastic trip up and back. And Jim's actually going to have his Ram. What do they call it? Boiled out or what's the term?
Yeah, what they call it, a European mount.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I'm excited for that because I have my wall of fame up in my man cave where I have several different deer. And, I got the famous hog skull up there as well. But I have to say, too, Bo, you're right. Everything about the trip was awesome. Yep. And, you know, the camaraderie. But my biggest compliment I can give Ted is how gracious he was with his time. Like, he was there with us for hours. But more important than that, you never felt like he was just checking a box. Like, he wanted to be there. You never felt like he was looking at his watch or trying to get out of there. Like, he was there. He was happy there. He like Bo would say, he held court. He talked about all kind of different things. In fact, when he realized I was the bow hunter, of course, he started coaching me on how I should set up my bow. And so it was this fun kind of moment. Just super gracious.
Did he sign another arrow for you? Because you did want to kill that ram with your Ted Nugent signed arrow, right?
Oh, that's right. And thank you for bringing that up. So I did just that. And the arrow broke off as it passed through the ram. And so I end up bringing it back to camp, and it probably broke about 6-7 inches off the end of it. And of course, there's blood all over it, and it has the signature still intact. So I'm like, that is the coolest relic coming out of that hunt. So I showed that to Ted, of course, and it was one of his signature gold tip arrows that I had purchased, you know, months ago. So that was a cool thing. It's also up on the wall.
Well, I can't wait to see it. How much did that ram weigh, just out of interest?
You know, I don't know. They don't really weigh them there. Okay. We just lay them out and start field dressing them. But my guess is 200 pounds. I think up to 3. But it was really had a lot of matted wool on it. And that was an old man. He'd been around. He had a little gray hair like me. So he'd been out a while. So the smart ones live longer kind of thing, which made it kind of cool.
Jim, it was about the size of my hog, which was about 200. So, overall, it was a 10 out of 10 for me on the trip. Thank you. And now everybody is one-upping me saying, are you going to go helicopter hog hunting down in Texas with Dad? I'm like, son of a, isn't this enough? Anyway, Jim, thank you, brother. The Big Onion, we appreciate everything, and I appreciate the drive. And, Mark, we even actually had a flat tire, like, in the shadows of the arch on the bridge complex. And we knocked that out like a boss. It was part of the adventure. We're 12 minutes from his house. It's like, here we go. But anyway, Jim, back to work. Thank you again for joining us.
Yep, you bet. Right on.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We appreciate that. What a great story. And after hearing Ted Nugent talk about that, Bo, you and I are going to have to go back up there together at some point. Maybe next year we plan a hunt, because that guy's a bundle of energy, and he's, what'd he say, 76 years old?
Later this year, yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
What a legacy he has done.
Maybe we plan it, if he's doing a local concert somewhere up there a couple hours from home, we go up the night before for the concert, and then we hunt the next morning. What do you think?
Dude, isn't him playing a guitar around a campfire good enough for you?
Well, I'd
put Why are you so greedy, Mark Cox?
Icing on the cake. That's all I'm saying. All right. Great stories. Great show. Thanks for joining us. That's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Pew, pew. Northwest and tangled with a grizzly bear, a polar bear, and a brown bear. They get this, that it will cleanse the soul.
Get more at 971talk.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.